welcome to the Tailwind Coaching Podcast, hosted on the Daily Grind Cycling Journal. Visit us on the web at tailwind-coaching.com or like us on Facebook at Tailwind Coaching. And now, your host, Coach Rob.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Tailwind Coaching Podcast. I am your host, Coach Rob, and the flavor of the week today is going to be a discussion about Zone 5 or your VO2 max. What is it? What does it mean to you? Why is it important for not only the racers out there who are listening to me, but also for the club riders and also for the the weekend warrior types who just like that, like to go out and get a little faster, do a little bit of work. Okay, we're going to get to that in just 1 second here. A little bit of housekeeping that I've got to go through here. Of course, you are listening to this Tailwind Coaching Podcast on one medium or another, whether it be iTunes, whether it be Stitcher, Podbean, Blueberry, or whether you're actually listening to it on the website. If you are listening on Stitcher, Podbean, Blueberry, the website, whatever the case may be, do me a favor. If you're liking what you're hearing, go on over to iTunes, and I would like you to go ahead and rate that podcast if you're so inclined. If you're listening on iTunes or if you're listening through the Apple Podcast app, just take a couple minutes and go over and rate that. The more ratings I get, the more I can expose people to good information, and the more interest I will have in providing new and more exciting podcasts in the future for all of you. That being said, a couple more things in terms of coaching. I have had a couple of people contact me via email, and I do return all emails. It may take me a couple days. I do work. This is something that I love to do. I do it as a as an adjunct job. Such as it is. It's not even so much a job as it is fun to see people improve, and I really enjoy doing that. But it does take me a couple days usually to get back to people who email me. However, I do get back to all those people who email me. So if in doubt and if you haven't heard from me in a couple days, don't sweat it. If you haven't heard from me in a week, go ahead and email me again. There's a chance that you may have gotten sent to my spam folder inadvertently. CoachRobDC@gmail.com if you want to get a hold of me. You can find me on Facebook at Tailwind Coaching as well. In terms of coaching, slots open. I have 2 slots, I believe, available for the summer months. If people are interested, please get in touch with me as soon as possible before those slots actually fill up. And we will get you started. For those of you who are considering coaching, please note that I am going to be, or I'm in the process of, and I will probably be continuing in the process of in the next few days, of modifying my coaching options, so keep a lookout for that. Note that you don't have to be local to me if you really want to be coached. I have no problem coaching athletes remotely. In fact, I've had a great success coaching athletes remotely. So if that's something you're interested in, go ahead and get in touch with me, either Facebook, Twitter, or preferably via email so that we can chat and iron out some details. All right. That being said, let's get into the meat of today's podcast, which is actually going to be VO2 max or zone 5, whatever you want to call it, why it's important for all of you, not just the racers in the room. And we'll get into that right after this. All right, VO2 max. What exactly is VO2 max? Or if you're going to talk in terms of power, zone 5, I'm going to use those terms interchangeably. But in reality, VO2 max is actually the the number, so to speak, of in terms of the amount of oxygen that your body can handle, expressed in milliliters per kilogram per minute, but we'll get to that in just a second. I'm going to use zone 5 interchangeably because zone 5 is really the training zone at which we're going to work in order to modify our VO2 max. But so that's out of the way. What exactly is VO2 max? Hear that term thrown around quite a bit. You've heard VO2 max testing, you've heard of, power at VO2 max, you've heard, VO2 max is over threshold and all kinds of other stuff. Well, here's a simple explanation. Cycling is an aerobic sport. We can all agree on that, okay? The main thing that drives aerobic energy production is the ability for our body to take in air, extract oxygen out of the air, and transport it to working muscles. All right, that's done through the heart, or the lungs and the cardiovascular and the cardiopulmonary system. The exchange happens in the capillary bed to the muscles, muscle cells, the muscle fibers, which then utilize that oxygen and produce waste byproducts, lactic acid and pyruvate, a few other things. But the bottom line is that cycling is a primarily aerobic sport. All right, so if we ride at a you know, a very low intensity, a sort of stop and smell the flowers kind of pace, where we're out for a nice easy ride and we're chatting with our friends, we take in air that supplies oxygen to the body, and our body is able to produce, you know, process X amount of oxygen and produce energy aerobically. All right, almost 100% of our energy at a lower intensity is produced aerobically. There is a small percentage, if you want to get into technicalities, that is anaerobic, but at this point, that is going to be negligible for our purposes. All right. We can tell honestly if we are sub threshold or within our VO2 max or below our VO2 max, because we're generally able to have enough energy and enough oxygen left over to talk and chat with those who we are riding with. Now, unfortunately, we are limited in the amount of energy that we can produce. So, for example, imagine you're on a group ride, and you've started out at a nice, easy, simple pace, and you're moving along, and suddenly the group decides you hit a climb, and the hostilities have started. Suddenly you need to put out more energy. The pace starts to go up, and you need to sort of, you know, match the ego or the match the cojones, so to speak, of those around you, and you want to keep pace at the front. Well, you have to produce more oxygen. Produce more energy. To do that, your body requires more oxygen. At some point, our requirement for energy production outstrips the amount of oxygen our body can deliver to the working muscles. Okay, we eventually reach a point where we physically can't breathe in enough air to service the demands that our effort is producing, or the demands that our effort requires. All right, and at that point, when we can't produce enough energy aerobically, we become anaerobic. We start burning sugars. Eventually, we burn out. Okay, we have to drop back. Right. But how do you know you've hit that point? Well, you hit that point when you can't talk anymore. There's no more talking going on. Breathing is ragged, and suddenly you're panting and hoping, praying to whatever deity is up there that either they'll ease the pace, the hill will end, or maybe you'll keel over and die. Actually, I'm hoping you're not wishing for that, but if you are, that means we need to work on your VO2 max energy production capabilities. But I digress a little bit here. Essentially, what we're going to do here, our definition for this is going to be the level, our VO2 max definition is going to be the level at which we cannot increase our intake of oxygen. Actually, we can't increase our transfer or utilization of oxygen. We can increase the intake all we want, but if we can't utilize it, then we're out of luck. The level at which we can't increase our utilization of oxygen, even though exercise intensity is increasing. There's your VO2 max definition. All right. If you want to break it down, VO2 max is the maximum volume of oxygen that we can consume. Technically, it's not even consume, it's going to be utilized. All right. Once we go over that line where we cannot utilize any further oxygen, we've hit that anaerobic, that fully anaerobic zone, and you know, we've got all kinds of strange things that happen. You know, muscle fatigue sets in, neuromuscular fatigue sets in, and all things like that. So after you've hit that VO2 max level where you cannot physically utilize any more oxygen, you're now into those zone 6, zone 7 efforts, those anaerobic thresholds, those anaerobic abilities, and those neuromuscular abilities. And once you've hit those levels, you have a very limited time before you are done. Okay. One other point of order that's going to become very important here. VO2 max cutoff, if you will, between the aerobic and anaerobic zone is not necessarily a cutoff per se. It's not like you are aerobic at 99% of your VO2 max and anaerobic at 101% of your VO2 max. It's a very, very sliding zone, and that zone is fairly wide, actually, in terms of coaching and in terms of being able to increase your VO2 max. That zone is quite wide. there's a percentage shift, if you want to call it that, that happens when you start to go into VO2 max, or technically above threshold. The higher you go above your threshold, which I've talked about in previous podcasts and even in previous posts, the higher you go above threshold, a certain percentage of your energy production shifts from aerobic to anaerobic. The idea that once you hit that VO2 max level, you've gone anaerobic, I would consider that you've gone predominantly anaerobic. That is, that most of your energy production is still coming from anaerobic sources, from creatine phosphate, from glycolysis, you know, from sugar, carbohydrate breakdown, whatever the case may be. The majority of your energy is coming from anaerobic sources. There is still a little bit of aerobic activity going, don't get me wrong. However, the energy demands have required that you start burning anaerobic energy sources at that point. Okay. So, the obvious take-home here is the higher your VO2 max is, obviously the faster you can go, or in terms of power production or zone 5 discussion or power discussion or training discussion, the higher your VO2 max, the more watts you can produce before you hit that anaerobic red zone. All right? And if you can produce more power, you can go faster, and you can do more damage to a pack or a group ride or a climb or whatever the case may be. Okay? So, going back to our definition, the amount of oxygen you can take in and make use of, or the amount of oxygen you can utilize, is an important part of your training, and we need to think about, and we need to discuss ways that we can go about increasing that VO2 max. Now, let me back up here and talk about a couple of small things here. You can do a VO2 max test, which will talk about the or will determine the maximum amount of oxygen you can utilize in a in a very scientific way. You can do it in a laboratory setting, which will give you the milliliters of oxygen per kilogram of body weight per minute of work equation. But to be perfectly honest with you, that is only something I would recommend to anybody if you are completely stuck, okay, in your training. Completely stuck. And I mean, you are a competitive, a racing type cyclist, or you're trying to improve a very specific thing, a time trial or something like that. You've gone through the structured training, you've tried various things, and you're just not getting anywhere. At that point, I would start considering doing a VO2 max test, and I would start thinking about, well, maybe either your training is incorrect, or maybe you've actually hit your genetic ceiling. I've seen it happen before. I know there are a certain number of people out there who've had that problem, so that would be the only time I would really recommend a physiological lab test of your VO2 max. But otherwise, you can do a couple things. You can do a ramp test. You can do a very specific a very specific kind of trainer test. You can do an outdoor test. A 5-minute effort test is a very good way to determine what your zone 5 power will be. Or, which the thing that most cyclists will tend to do, and very often what I will have my athletes do, unless they're not getting results, I will have them do a simple threshold test. Once they've completed that threshold test, you can extrapolate your VO2 max or your zone 5 level fairly simply, just by using a little bit of a little bit of mathematical calculation. And usually for your average cyclist, for your weekend warrior, for your group rider, and even for your amateur racer, that is more than sufficient for you to realize pretty substantial gains, really, in your fitness. So don't think that you need to have a lab test to understand or to get your VO2 max to be able to be effective in raising it. All right? So the take-home message here is your VO2 max is sort of what is your upper limit of your power-producing potential. And obviously, the higher your VO2 max, the more gifted you would be as a cyclist. And obviously, the higher your VO2 max, the higher your threshold will be. So everybody talks, a lot of people talk about raising threshold, and I do a lot of work on raising people's thresholds as well. However, one of the often forgotten parts of threshold is VO2 max. Threshold is a percentage of your maximal oxygen uptake. And if you can raise that maximal oxygen uptake level or number, you can obviously raise that threshold as well. So how do you go about raising that maximal oxygen uptake level or that VO2 max? We'll get into that after I get myself a little drink of water, and I will be right back after this. Okay, so if VO2 max is such an important part of our training and such an important determinant in our skill and fitness, how do we go about improving it? How do we go about making our fitness better through certain types of intervals and certain VO2 work? Well, that's actually not too difficult of a thing to do, if you want to look at it this way. The simple fact of the matter is, to improve any part of your cycling, all right, whether it's your skill set, whether it's your neuromuscular coordination, whether it's your VO2 max, whether it's your threshold, you simply have to challenge the body, go above and beyond the body's limits in that specific circumstance. So if you're talking about neuromuscular coordination, you have to challenge the body and go beyond the body's comfort zone in terms of neuromuscular coordination. So instead of only doing single leg drills for 10 seconds until you get tired, you do single leg drills for 30 seconds, forcing your body to adapt to the increased demands placed upon it. If you want to increase your body's VO2 max, you have to you have to train your body to be more efficient in order to raise that VO2 max level. Think of it this way. Your body will only do what it's asked to do, all right? And the reason being because the body is lazy. It does not want to maintain fitness or anything for that matter, body mass, muscle mass, or anything if it doesn't have to, because that requires energy. The more energy your body requires, the more energy your body has to expend to get it. Okay? Your body likes to be in a constant state of entropy. It likes to shed anything unnecessary. This is why if you sit on the couch for a month, you lose fitness, because you're not challenging your body. Your body doesn't need that fitness, so why should it maintain it? All right? That being said, in order to improve your VO2 max, you have to be able to undertake interval training at the correct level. All right? You can't necessarily improve your VO2 max by doing threshold intervals. All right? And you're not really going to hit your VO2 max if you're doing zone 6 or zone 7 sprints either. All right? Intervals need to be, if you want to look at it from a physiological standpoint, intervals have to be aerobic in nature, but essentially right at the edge of anaerobic threshold, or right at the edge of anaerobicity. I don't even think that's a word, but we're going to run with it here, okay? We're going to run with it. I'm going to create that word, anaerobicity, here. And we will refer to it in the future. But anyway, essentially what you're trying to do is you're trying to work at that very edge of where your body tips from predominantly aerobic to predominantly anaerobic. energy production. All right. So, really quickly, one of the things that I've heard so many riders, so many people that I've actually talked with in the past say is, you know, you raise your VO2 max by doing long, slow distance rides. You get the miles in over the winter, and that's how you raise your VO2 max. No. No, simply, you don't. And the problem with this thought is, yes, that it sort of works in untrained individuals, but in trained individuals, and those of you who are listening to this podcast are probably what you would refer to as a trained individual, the rate of oxygen consumption at that long, slow distance mile pace is simply not high enough to stimulate a physiological adaptation. All right, you need something else other than several hours of just massive volume of oxygen consumption, if you want to put it that way. All right, so that's a big myth that I'm glad we already busted, because let me tell you, I don't know how many times I've heard people say that they have to go out and put in long, slow distance miles to get their VO2 max up so that they can really, really work it. And it's just simply not the case. All right. So what is VO2 max and what's the best way that we can work on it? Well, one of the things that we need to understand is that VO2 max is really a measure of your cardiovascular and cardiopulmonary fitness. Okay, so the idea would be to increase the efficiency of that cardiopulmonary system. Because let's be honest, your muscles can suck up all the oxygen that they need to. All right, capacity for your skeletal muscles and the muscle hanging off your body to utilize oxygen is going to be far greater than your body's ability to provide it to those muscles. All right, so the heart and the lungs, that cardiopulmonary system, your performance limiter, and you need to develop that oxygen carrying capacity. So your training objective in this case is going to be not necessarily to make your engine bigger. All right, VO2 max is mostly genetically defined. However, we can make our body or our engine more efficient. If you want to think of it in terms of a car, you have a 2.5-liter engine in your vehicle, okay? You can't necessarily make that engine, that engine bigger. I mean, yeah, you could bore it out, you could stroke it, you could put a new engine in the vehicle. But for all intents and purposes, let's say that that's not happening. Let's say that you have a 2.5-liter engine. To get more power out of it, you need to make it more efficient. You put on a cat-back exhaust, which is higher flow, so you get more power out of it. You put in, a cold air intake, because cold air seems to, have more density, which means you're going to get more power out of it. Okay, et cetera, et cetera. All these little car mods that you can get more power out of it. All right. The other thing that you can do is increase the rev limit on your engine, all right? And that rev limit on your engine is going to be your threshold, your functional threshold. So those are our goals, all right? Here's the take-home message. VO2 max is the size of our engine, all right? Our efficiency is what we need to improve. Our efficiency would be our threshold. Okay, so that's what we need to work on. But we can also work on our efficiency above our threshold. All right, so there's a couple of things going on here. Essentially, what's the bottom line? The bottom line is to increase our VO2 max, we need to train in our VO2 max zone, our zone 5. And we need to train in that zone 5, which is approximately 90 to 105% of our current VO2 max. All right. The trick here is properly pacing ourselves. And this is why we would use a heart rate monitor, or we would use a power meter, which is even better yet, to establish those zones. If we're going to talk about zone 5, and I'm going to talk in terms of a power meter, zone 5 on a heart rate monitor would be above your functional threshold, your lactate threshold. So 100% plus. basically 100 to 105% of your lactate threshold heart rate. For a power meter, you are talking 105 to about 120% of your functional threshold power. That would be your zone 5 or your VO2 max zone. And the best return on investment that's been noted in literature and anecdotally in training, by the way, is multiple efforts of about 100 and multiple efforts in that zone 5, 3 to 5 minutes, or ideally you're going to be using VO2 max, and many times 3 to 8 minutes. Those 8-minute climbs are really VO2 max efforts in reality. But 3 to 5 minutes, so you're going to expect about a 4-minute interval in that VO2 max or that zone 5. In terms of rest for those intervals, you're talking a 1-to-1 work-to-rest ratio. So if you're doing a 4-minute interval, you're going to do a 4-minute rest interval afterwards. And you can repeat these intervals 3 times, 4, 5, 6 times if you want. If you're becoming, you're realizing your zone 4, or your 4-minute efforts are getting a little bit too easy, you're not feeling too spent, you bump it up to 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 7 minutes, 8 minutes. But anyway, the bottom line here is you want a sustainable effort for approximately 4 minutes over the same power level, that 105 to 120% of your threshold. Now, the problem with going above that, say 125% or 130%, you have a very short interval in that case. You might hold it for 2 to 3 minutes, and you might actually reach your VO2 max physiologically. However, that interval will probably be over and you're going to be burned out before you get any of the benefits of training in VO2 max, okay? And the benefits in training in VO2 max is going to be increased efficiency in VO2 max, all right? So the big key to this whole thing is the proper interval duration and the proper interval intensity. All right. So in terms of intensity, we're talking 105 to 120% of your functional threshold power, which many of you will probably have measured already. If you haven't, I very, very highly suggest you go out and do that. In terms of heart rate, we're going to be talking above between 100, well, we're going to be talking above 100% of your lactate threshold heart rate. Heart rate is a little bit more difficult to utilize only because it is a little bit more imprecise. Heart rate, as I've said many times in the past, is a measure of what your body, the response to work that your body has provided, as opposed to the actual work output that you are performing. So, now that you know the interval type, we're going to talk about why you need to work on that VO2 max, okay? And we're going to talk about that in just a couple moments here. All right, why do we need to work on VO2 max? That was the whole question you've been asking for the first 28 and a half minutes of this podcast. Here's the thing. If you're out on a group ride or you're out on a race or something like that and somebody surges at the front or your group suddenly hits a climb, you need to have the ability to hit that zone 5 effort and sustain that zone 5 effort for the duration of the surge, the duration of the climb, whatever the case may be. Okay? That's how you stay on a group. And that's actually how, if you are pushing the pace on a group, that's how you detach other riders from the group. All right? That's how you attack a group or you attack a race, is a zone 5 or zone 6. And zone 6 effort is actually a real acceleration in a race. The zone 6 effort settling into a zone 5 for a certain amount of time and then basically recovering at threshold. Okay? VO2 max power, that zone 5 power, is really the key to staying with your group. The bottom line is the key to staying with your group. If you're riding solo or if you're riding with a group, it's the ability that you need to climb powerfully. Now, threshold plays a big part in climbing. We'll go over that in a future podcast, which I've actually got slated, I think, for a week or two down the road. But threshold is very important for climbing. The higher your threshold, the closer you can climb to that threshold without going over, the longer you're able to climb. But VO2 max is really the ability to hit those steeper slopes or to accelerate, to catch people, to attack people, things like that. All right. And above all, the ability to raise your VO2 max will allow you to increase your threshold. Okay. Remember, efficiency is the key in terms of cycling. The more efficient you are, the more power you can produce with the less effort. Okay. And that's essentially what raising your threshold is all about. And that's essentially what VO2 max work is all about. All right. So let's give out, just as a courtesy here, I know a lot of you are kind of wondering, all right, I've got the idea. I know I have to spend a certain amount of time in my zone five to get some benefit in that zone five. But, you know, how do I, what good is it? You know, how do I use it in a group? How do I work on these things? I'll give you a little bit of information on that. And one of the best things you can actually do is to work on your VO2 max on a trainer. Huh? What? Did he just say work on a trainer? Yeah, I just said work on a trainer. Now, I realize I'm looking out the window here on June 20th, and it's bright and sunny. It's 80 degrees. There's a little bit of a breeze out there. The humidity's kind of low. Why in God's name do I want to be on a trainer? What the hell is he talking about? All right, well, here's the important thing. A trainer is very, very controlled. All right, the trainer environment is very well controlled. You can control variables from temperature to wind to everything else by using a fan, by using an air conditioning, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, and it's much easier to do interval work on a trainer than it is to do interval work outdoors. Okay. Now, if you really want to talk about interval work on a trainer, here's a couple things you can do, a couple intervals that are extremely good. And one of them is the VO2 max interval. It's a good old fashioned hit that zone five and stay there for 4, 5, 6 minutes and then come down and spin easy for 4, 5, 6 minutes. Remember that 1-to-1 rest to work interval ratio that we had talked about earlier. Okay. The nice thing about doing your VO2 max intervals on a trainer is that you can very, very precisely control the zone that you're in. You can very precisely stay in that 105% to 120% of your functional threshold. You can even break it down further. You can stay at that 110% mark if you want to, or you can raise it, stay at that 115% mark if you really want to. It's all very predictable on a trainer, all right? And that'll give you a great benefit. Your body will become more efficient by doing those kinds of intervals, all right? But there's a key to this, and part of this is the efficiency is great, all right? And the ability to hit that interval for 4 minutes is great. But one thing that you have to really practice as well, and that is the repeatability, okay? Zone five repeatability. And I talked about this a little bit before, that repeatability is the key to staying in a group, all right? Repeatability in terms of zone five, if you look at it this way, think of a criterium race. Or for those of you who aren't racers, those of you who are weekend warriors or the group riders, think of that fast group ride, okay? Rolling terrain or even flat terrain where people like to try and get off the front, okay? Very often you'll have a surge that will last 10, 15, 30 seconds, all right? And then suddenly the pace drops back a little bit and you have to hang on, all right? The most important thing you can do and the most important thing you can practice along with your zone five efficiency, that zone five, those VO2 max intervals, is zone five repeatability. And my favorite zone five repeatability workout, okay, is basically 30 seconds at zone five, all right? After you've warmed up on the trainer, you go 30 seconds at zone five. That simulates that surge in the pack during a crit out of a corner. That simulates that guy trying to get off the front of the pack or hitting the front of the pack and drilling it. That simulates the guy attacking in on a climb. That simulates a short climb on a really fast group ride. All right, 30 seconds at VO2 max. Recovery is 30 seconds to a minute at threshold. 95 to 105% of threshold, of your functional threshold, or about 98% of your lactate threshold. Okay, so 30 seconds hard, VO2 max level, zone 5 level effort, 30 seconds to a minute at that threshold level. That will train your body not only to be efficient, but to recover at threshold and be ready to do it again. And by being ready to do that again, I'm telling you, you take that 30 seconds on, minute off, and off, remember, is at threshold, that 30 seconds on, minute off, and you repeat it over and over and over and over and over and over again. And you maybe do that 4 times, 5 times, 6, 7, 8, 10 times, okay, with no, quote, rest in between, okay? And by rest, I'm saying don't go below threshold, all right? So what you end up with is, in reality, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 minutes of zone 5, zone 4, zone 5, zone 4, zone 5, zone 4. Now, for those of you who are racers, and you've been out there before, what does that sound like? It sounds pretty much like a crit race, doesn't it? It absolutely does. And that's exactly what you train for in terms of a crit race. For those weekend warrior types, that sounds exactly like that fast group ride with the really fast guys or that rolling terrain. All right? Hit it hard, back off, and recover a threshold. Hit it hard, back off, and recover a threshold. Hit it hard, back off, and recover a threshold. Repeat until you throw up. Hopefully not in your living room, all right? If you're feeling a little bit queasy, get off and get yourself a puke bucket. Trust me, you don't want to be cleaning Zone 5 repeat puke out of the carpet. It's not a good thing, okay? In any case, those are your trainer workouts that I would recommend for you, all right? Now, everybody's going to be saying, well, but you know, it's nice and warm outside. What the hell are you sitting on the trainer for? If you want to take this kind of thing outside, a very good way to work on this repeatability, find yourself a rolling road that has several short, punchy little climbs, or rises. I shouldn't even say climbs. Short, punchier rises, separated by downhill to flat portions. Okay, you can work on your Zone 5 in those respects. That's a great way to work on Zone 5 repeatability. The problem with outdoors is very often if you're hitting those little punchy uphills, you're very often exceeding that zone 5 and you're going into zone 6. The idea still applies, okay? If you average out that those hill efforts, for lack of a better description, you will end up with overall zone 5 work. But if you are outside, that's a great way to practice repeatability in zone 5 and zone 6 as well. Attacking on the flat is one of the best ways to do this. You can hit it hard for 30 seconds at that VO2 max level effort and drop back into your threshold level effort on a flattish kind of circuit. All right. And for in terms of VO2 max intervals, this is one of those situations where I find actually Strava to be very useful. And what I mean by that is if you go to the Explore tab on Strava, you can get a basic idea of how long a climb is. By seeing how long that climb is, you can actually build VO2 or Zone 5 level efforts into your ride by searching, finding a 4 or 5 minute climb, and then hitting that 4 or 5 minute climb at your 105 to 120% your zone 5 effort. So you can go out, you can get in a nice ride, you can see a few things, you know, maybe see some cows or some horses or whatever. If you're around, you're in an area like I am, you're going to see horses, cows, the occasional emu. It's a long story, maybe for another podcast, but you'll be able to actually get those 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes of VO2 level work, that zone 5 level work, out with other people or even on your own, but with the benefits of being outside. And the benefits of being outside obviously are, you know, road feel and wind, heat, sunshine. Even just the mental aspect of being outside is far greater than the mental aspect of being stuck on a trainer, of course. So there are a few free coaching tips and a few free workouts for you. Integrate them into your training schedule. Integrate them into your rides. You will see a benefit. I guarantee that. All right. And I would wager against anything that you will see a benefit because physiologically it works. All right. Zone 5 work. And I'm going to say this as a bit of a closer here. Remember that Zone 5 work is not really fun. Okay. Zone 5 work hurts. Zone 5 work is probably the least fun you're going to have on a bicycle in your training. Okay. But it is a very necessary part of your training. All right. And Zone 5 work is integral to improving as a cyclist. Okay. You have to take your body beyond its comfort level. You have to get out of that comfort zone in order to see any kind of benefits. And Zone 5 work will definitely do that for you. All right. So just a quick recap. Your VO2 max, again, is your capacity to utilize oxygen that you take in. Okay. And your whole goal is to increase the efficiency of your body in order to do more work at less cost, at less oxygen cost. And you do that by working within that zone 5, that 105 to 120% of your threshold. And why is it important? It's important because if you don't have the ability to do zone 5 work, you do not have the ability to stay with your group or stay with the guys on the climb or stay with your race or stay with whatever. Okay? You become a one-speed rider without that zone 5 ability, and that's not what you want to be. I promise you that. All right? So folks, the big take home here that I want you to note is that you need to be doing this stuff. Okay. It may not be fun. It may not be, enticing, but you need to be doing it. And as you do it, you will absolutely see benefits. You will absolutely start to become more powerful, and you will start to thank me when you start hitting those group rides and killing those group rides or riding off the front of those races. All right, folks, I want to thank you all for listening. I want you to remind you to go ahead to iTunes, and I want you to rate this podcast if you're liking what you're hearing, or you can find me you can find me on Stitcher, Blueberry, Podbean, or any of those, and you can rate me on there as well. But please, please, please go ahead and rate me on iTunes. Like I said previously, it makes it a lot more visible, and not only does it make it visible, it gives me some feedback and lets me know that you're actually enjoying and utilizing this information. Remember, again, you can find me on the website tailwind-coaching.com, or you can find me on Facebook at Tailwind Coaching. And always, as always, you can contact me via email, coachrobdc@gmail.com, and I will get back to you. I answer all the questions that I am posed. So, thanks for listening again. I want you to ride safe, ride happy, get strong, do your zone 5 work, and become an animal out there. All right? Be well and keep the rubber side down, folks. I will be talking with you real soon.